And today we'll be in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll be going over verses 12 to 14. Again, Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. And let me start us out in prayer. Father, as we gather together in your holy and glorious name, we pray that you'll just incline our hearts and minds to you, Father God. Give us ears to hear this morning, Father God, eyes to see, O Lord. And give us, Father, the nurturing we need, Father God, the nutrients we need, Father, spiritually, O Lord, that we may grow in a way that pleases you, O Father, and that honors you. Help us just consume your word, Father God, to be inspired by every single word, Father God, that we may be a people after your own heart. And we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now for the last 2-3 weeks, we've been looking at Paul's prayer, which started out really in verse 9, and it goes from verse 9 to verse 12. And you can take it all the way to 14, and some actually take his prayer all the way to verse 14. But this is some things that we should bear in mind when we look at verses 9 to 14, because in verses 9 to 14 in Paul's prayer, we see the entire Trinity at work. We see the Holy Spirit at work, because it's the Holy Spirit who fills us with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, and who helps us to please the Father in every way. So he's involved in every process, and then you keep going and you look at the Father, and we give thanks to the Father because he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. And it is the Father who has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of light. And then we go to Jesus, and we see in verse 14 that it is through Jesus that we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So we see the entire Trinity at work in verses 9 to 14. Do we have something to be thankful for this morning? Absolutely. Because right here in all these verses, we see the gospel being played out. We see everything, every member of the Trinity working out the gospel. So yes, we have many things to be thankful. And the reason why I wanted to start at verse 12 is for that one thing, because among many things that we learn from Paul, and we learn many teachings from Paul, but one of the most important lessons, one of the important teachings that Paul gives us is this: to always give thanks to the Father. Always give thanks to the Father. One of his most important teachings, that we should always do this. And if I go to chapter 4, and I read verse 2 in Colossians, I get this. We get this. Now here's Paul in Colossians 4, chapter 2, and he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Again, be vigilant. Commit yourself to prayer. But this is your attitude. When you devote yourself to prayer, your attitude should be watchful and it should be thankful always. That's the attitude we should have whenever we approach the Father. He says, come to the Father with the right attitude of thanksgiving. Very significant. So in our prayers, unfortunately, giving thanks is not always given priority. It's not always given first place honors. Giving thanks to the Father in our prayers, sometimes it's relegated. Sometimes it's moved or demoted to second place or third place or fourth place. Or sometimes we don't even thank the Father. We just say our prayers and we move on. But Paul says, no, when you look at verse 2 again, it says, have the right attitude when you approach God. And the right attitude should be a heart filled with thanksgiving. That is the attitude. And if we're not careful, we might be like leeches' daughters. Have you ever heard of leeches' daughters? Because Solomon spoke of leeches' two daughters. And he said, leech had two daughters. And his two daughters' names were the same. One was named Give, and the other one was named Give. Can you go to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15, please? And here we see Solomon. He says, leech. Leech is the name of the father. How would you like to have that name? amen. My name is Leach. I'm always just taking, exhorting from others. So Leach had two daughters. One was named Give. The other one was named Give. Both are Give. And they're always saying the same thing. Give, give, give. They want more and more and more. That's all they do. They just want more. Give me more. And enough is never enough. They just keep asking for more. And many of us tend to treat God just like that. We come to God and we just want Him to give. Give, 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 give. That's all we want. And we need to be careful that we don't adopt this kind of attitude. Wrong attitude. We don't come to the Lord in our prayers with this type of attitude. Who Paul said, when you approach God, approach Him in a careful manner and with the right attitude of thanksgiving. And here in these passages, 9 to 14, we have much, very, very much to be thankful for. Very much. But even so, remember in Luke 17, this is a story of the lepers. Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem, and He's going through the border of Samaria and Galilee. And as He's going to Jerusalem, 10 lepers are off in the distance, and they're yelling at Jesus. They're calling Jesus because they want to be healed. So Jesus goes to them, and of course, He asks them, what do you need? They want to be cleansed. So Jesus says, go present yourself to the priest. Now, on their way to see the priest, they are cleansed. Because you need to be obedient. The first thing Jesus said, go to the priest. That requires obedience. So they go on their way. All 10 are cleansed. But of the 10, only one comes back. And he gives thanksgiving. And Jesus says, where are the other 9? But the other 9 didn't come back. There's no thanksgiving. Oh, they want. Give me, give me, give me, Lord. But when it comes to the thanksgiving, they're absent. They're not there. But one, and the one that came back, wasn't even a Jew, because the other 9 were Jews. This one happened to be a Samaritan from Samaria. He came and he gave thanks. Not only did he receive physical healing, but he was spiritually cleansed, because Jesus looked at him after he says, where are the others? They weren't there. Then Jesus looked at this one and he says, your faith hath cleansed you. So he received not only physical cleansing, but he was spiritually cleaned. He became a Christian, a follower, a disciple right then and there. Again, come to the Lord with the right attitude. This one leper who was cleansed had the right attitude. He came back and he gave glory to God. That's what we need to do in our prayers. Paul says, have that attitude, an attitude of thanksgiving. So we read this prayer we just read, verses 9 to 14, filled with things that we should give God thanks for every single day. Not a day goes by when we shouldn't be thanking God for something, because He's always at work in our lives. Every single day. So where are you? Where are you today in your life of thanksgiving? Where are you exactly? And what steps are you taking to develop or to grow in your gratitude for God? Are you doing anything? Do you think once a day, throughout the day, that you need to thank God for something, for someone? Where are we? Where is the life of thanksgiving in our lives? Do we have anything? Well, here in passages, the passages that I just read, verses 12 to 14, Paul is giving some unanswerable arguments. Because remember, Paul, yes, he just prayed for the Colossian believers, but here he's going to begin to give some arguments, because he's still arguing against these false teachers. These false teachers have infiltrated the church or are about to infiltrate the church. They're trying to go in there with different teachings, bad teachings, false teachings. And they're trying to say to the Colossian believers that, yes, God, Christ, Jesus Christ, oh, yeah, He's very important. Very significant person, absolutely. Yes, He's a very prominent person, they would tell the church. Even like today, out there, even in some churches, in some religions, in some cults, they'll say, yes, Jesus, He's a very prominent person. However, He's not the preeminent person. No, no, there are many ways to God. Jesus is just one of them. Therefore, Jesus, He's just very important. But no, Paul says, no, Jesus is not very important. Jesus is the preeminent one, the superior one, the unmatched one, the all-sufficient one. There is no other ones. So we give thanks. We can give thanks to us, as we're going to find out as I go through the message, because these are unanswerable arguments. But in here, we learn to give thanks. We can give thanks to God because of what Paul is about to say. And the first point I want to say is this, because I got 5 points to make this morning. And the first point is in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in inheritance. First point, we have been qualified by the Father to share in the inheritance. Are you thankful for that? Because we have been qualified by the Father. This has got nothing to do with deserving. We deserved nothing for this. It was the Father's doing. He himself, by his grace, qualified us to do what? To share in the inheritance of the saints. He has done all that. The Father has done all that. Again, we had nothing to do with it. Nothing. It was all through the work of Christ on the cross. It was all because of Christ. So the Father made us sufficient. At the very moment when we heard the gospel and we accepted the gospel and we were converted and regenerated and born again, at that very moment, instantaneously, we became sufficient, suitable for eternal life, absolutely suitable, made for heaven by the work of the Father. Are you thankful for that? Are we thankful for that? Because he qualified us. But then he says this, he says, to share in the inheritance. So yes, we know this, that while we have been suited for heaven, and one day we will be in heaven, we will be glorified with Christ one day. But now we can share in the inheritance of the saints in light, because this inheritance does not belong to anybody else except for those saints in light. That's it. This inheritance is meant for one group and one group only, saints in light. And that's it. But let's understand this word inheritance. Inheritance. What does that mean exactly? And let me add this. In Greek, this word inheritance, very important for us to know, it's kleros. Kleros. Is that important? Yes. What does it mean? It means a lot, or a portion, or a piece. Kleros, it eventually means a lot. You know, when men would go out there and they would throw lots, the dice? That's what it's talking about. You throw the dice, and if you throw the dice, you would win something. In a sense, it became a lottery. You would throw the dice, and you would win a lot, a portion, a piece. You see the same word in Matthew 27, verse 35. Right here, this is the Roman soldiers after Jesus is crucified. When they have crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Lots. Kleros. That's the same word that Paul is using when he says inheritance. In Greek, it's kleros. Here, it's kleros. Same word. These Roman soldiers are casting lots, and they divided his clothes. When they divided his clothes, that right there was their lot. This is my lot, that's your lot, and that's your lot, and that's your lot. That was their portion. That is what Paul is talking about. Even in we can see it again in Acts. Can you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 26? Again. One, Judas has hanged himself. Judas is out of the picture. He's died. He's gone. But the apostles realize we need to fill his position. So they cast lots. Understand, they cast lots only after they prayed. They prayed first, and when they prayed, they kind of knew who it was going to be. But they still pray and cast lots because they wanted validation. So they just didn't cast lots. Prayer came first, and then they cast lots. So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. So Matthias did what? He inherited a portion, a piece, an allotment. So he got his inheritance. Now, then, he got his inheritance. And then you go to, can you go to Acts 8, chapter 21? I'm just trying to emphasize this word because it's important that we know this. It says here again. Now remember Simon? Simon was a man who he saw Peter and John proclaiming the gospel. And these people who were receiving the gospel were being filled with the Spirit. So he wanted that gift. He wanted to pay money for that gift. And Peter tells him, you have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. You have no part or share. You have no inheritance. Right now, Simon, you have no inheritance in this ministry. None whatsoever. Again, kleros. You have no kleros in this ministry. None. No portion, no nothing. And then we see it one more time. And it's, can you go to Acts chapter 26, verse 18? Here's Paul's commission, Paul's mandate, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me, and a place, an inheritance, a portion, a peace. Paul is using the very same word again, kleros, your inheritance, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So inheritance, why is that important? Paul thought that was very, very important. Very important. He says, you need to understand this. All of us, we need to understand our inheritance now, that we have now. Paul says, this is very important for us to grasp. He prayed for it, about it, back in Ephesians. You can go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Okay, let me see, make sure I got the right one. Ephesians 1, I'm sorry, verse 18, please. Okay, here's Paul. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So Paul says that he may open your eyes. Why? So that you may know the hope to which he has called you, and the riches of his glorious inheritance. That he would open your eyes, open our eyes, so that we would know the richness of his glorious inheritance. Paul says, you need to know. You need to see your inheritance, not in the future, but you need to see your inheritance now. You need to know what it is now. What is it now, your inheritance? Because we have an inheritance now. Even in Ephesians, we know this. We know that we received our adoption. Our adoption. That right there is my portion, my lot, my peace now. Same thing with you. You received your portion, your lot, your peace as an adoption, as adopted sons and daughters of God. You have received now an inheritance. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. That is your inheritance. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He has been given it to us as a pledge of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is our portion, our peace, our inheritance now. We have been justified. All our in the past, all our sins, past, present, future, all of our sins have been wiped away, made clean. We have been justified. That right there is my portion, your peace, your inheritance now. Now, you are being sanctified, being made holy, that you may walk in a worthy manner of the Lord. That is your portion, your peace, your inheritance now. Not tomorrow, but now. In the future, you will be glorified. That will be your inheritance that is yet to come. Many rewards that are yet to come, but there are many, many promises that God has given you now as our inheritance. We have many things to be grateful for. So every single day, we have something to be thankful for because our inheritance isn't something only in the future. Our inheritance is something now. And that's what Paul says, that your eyes may be opened, they may be opened so that you will know the richness of the glorious of your inheritance, that you may know that now. And here, that's what we have when Paul says you have been qualified. You have been qualified, suited for heaven, your portion, your allotment that is yet to come. In the meantime, he says, you have an inheritance that you share now with the saints. And we need to know what all these portions, all these pieces are. Because you've received them. They've been divided to you. They are ours. We have gifts. We have talents that God has apportioned to all of us. Now, not later. It's important that we know that. We can't just move on and not grasp that. Very important that we know that. So once we know that, that God has already given all of us an inheritance, and we should know what that is now. We have been given an inheritance today, right now. And there's more than just the ones I just mentioned. Because as we go through Colossians, we'll see that there's more blessings. But we just need to lay hold of all those blessings by faith. We need to lay hold of them by faith. So the first argument, or the argument that Paul levied, the first thing that we should be thankful is that we have been qualified to share in our inheritance. But now we know what that inheritance is, or at least what some of those things are. But there are many of those in the Bible that we have. Many portions that have been given to us. But the next one is this, that we have been rescued. And we move now to verse 13. The another piece, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness. He has done that. He has rescued. This is Operation Rescue here. He has sent, because we can't rescue ourselves. We had no capability, even no desire to rescue ourselves. We were fine in our own sinful filth. That was okay. We were okay. He had to come and save us from the domain of darkness. Otherwise, we never would have left that domain of darkness. So when he says he rescued us, it kind of tells us that we needed to be rescued and that we were not in the right place. We were in a place where he didn't want us to be. And he came and he rescued us. Again, all part of the gospel of salvation. All part of the redemptive plan. God's salvific plan. So he rescued us. Are we thankful for this magnificent deliverance? Are we thankful for that? Because that right there is your portion. Your peace, your inheritance. For all of us. We had nothing to do with it. We were released, set free from what? From another jurisdiction. We were under the jurisdiction of darkness, under a different ruler, under a different power, under a different authority. Completely, he took us from one jurisdiction and he moved us into another. He did that. We were dead, the Bible says, we were dead in our trespasses, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, that's where we were. That was a domain of darkness. We were there, every single one of us, and we were just fine. But when you go back and you read verse 12, and you say, and it says that God qualified us, suited us for heaven. How? Because he had to move us out of this dark kingdom to do that. And he says, we were in that dark dominion. But if we're going to share in the inheritance of the saints, we can only share with those saints in light, not in darkness. There is nothing for us to share. There is nothing for any Christian to share with another Christian in the domain of darkness. If there's going to be any sharing in our inheritance, it's going to be in the kingdom of light. It's going to be with the saints in light, and that's it. And that's it. Nowhere else. So he has qualified us. So this word rescue, it means God drew us. God drew us from one domain, and he drew us directly to himself. It's a rescuing from one unto another. He rescued us. He took us from the arms of another and moved us into his own arms as his own children. Once and for all, and it was instant. This deliverance, this rescue was instant. It was done, it's complete, and it's over. In other words, this rescue mission isn't a work in progress. This rescue, it's done. It's a done deal. Once God rescues you and moves you from one domain to another, the rescue operation, it's over. You're in the kingdom of light. You're in the kingdom of God's Son, and that's where you belong, and that's where you will stay forevermore. There is no, well, he's still rescuing us. Well, he's still rescuing some out there. That's why we preach the gospel. But for those already in light, you have been rescued, and it's a done deal. There's nothing left in that operation, that military operation. It's done for us. It's done for those who are in light, for those who are in Christ. It is over. We are no longer captives. We are free in Christ, new birth, new life, new minds. We are a new creation. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The old, it's over at the domain of darkness. It's gone. It's out of the way. It's on the cross. It died with Christ on the cross. But the new has come. That is what has come. That is what has come into this kingdom of light. We have been rescued. We have been rescued once and for all. Here's the thing. As soon as Jesus was arrested, Jesus knew. Jesus said, this is the hour of the power of darkness. This is it. This is your hour, Satan. This is yours. Jesus arrested. He goes to court. He's falsely condemned. He's tried. He's crucified by Pontius Pilate. He's ushered out from Jerusalem. He's let out the gates. He's taken to Golgotha. And now there, he's crucified on the cross, and he dies. And Satan and his minions, they celebrate, they rejoice, because it's over. Victory is theirs. But then 3 days later, boom, there is the resurrection. And all that rejoicing from Satan and from the evil ones, it comes shattering down. His kingdom of darkness is completely gone because Christ has risen. He is victorious. He has destroyed death. He has destroyed sin. He has destroyed the power of Satan. It's all over. That right there, your portion, my lot, your inheritance. Why? Because he lives. Because he reigns. We too rejoice. We have plenty to be rejoiced for. He's transferred us from one kingdom to another kingdom. Our salvation, it's much greater than those who were redeemed out of Egypt and taken to the promised land. They were taken to a promised land, an earthly place. They were given an earthly reward. But us, when we were redeemed and moved out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light, that was a spiritual redemption. See, when you take the people of Israel, the Hebrew children, they go into the promised land, they still had to fight and conquer and deal with false gods and false idols and battle with sin and contend with the devil. They had to do all that. But for us, no. This is a grander redemption. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the domain of light, there's no battles to be fought because Christ has already fought all of that. We just move in spiritually into a new kingdom, a far better kingdom, when we have nothing of that to contend with. The battle has been won, completely won. And that's what's so marvelous about this kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's Son, a much better transference. So first, we have been qualified. The second point was we have been rescued. And the third point is this, we have been transferred. We have been transferred. Can you go back, please, Colossians? Chapter 1, verse 12, I believe. 13, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Son. You see the positive, there is a negative and a positive. Rescued us from the domain of darkness. Well, that was a negative there. We were in the domain of darkness. But now a positive, he brings us into the kingdom of light. That is a positive, the kingdom of light. But then it says, he transferred us. Let me go back to Colossians chapter 1, and this is what it says in I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. It says in verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness, point one. But then he says, and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. Brought us, transferred. Okay, that again, Old Testament language there. Remember in the Old Testament, remember the transfer that took place in biblical times when the northern kingdom rebelled, Assyria goes in there, they take all the northern tribe and they transfer it back into their own kingdom, and now they're away from the kingdom and they just transfer it all over wherever the Assyrian wants them. They just transfer them to another place, to another kingdom. Completely transferred. And then later, the same thing happens to the southern tribe when Babylon goes in there, and Babylon conquers the southern tribe, Judah, and they just take Judah, and they transfer him all down to Babylon. A transference happened. The same kind of transference. Paul is trying to make the same idea here. God took us out of the domain of darkness, and then he takes us and he transfers us into his kingdom. We are a displaced people, but we're in a far better place because he transferred us not under a hard ruler, but under a king who loves us, a king who will provide for us, a king who will comfort us, a king who will build us up and edify us and nurture us, a king who will be there for us for all time. A different kind of rulership from darkness to light, a transference, a much better thing, much better thing. From the lowest form of government, from the worst form of government, the domain of darkness, to the highest and loftiest form of government, to the kingdom of his son, from the worst to the very best. Again, a spiritual transference. Because the Hebrew children, they never got this. They never got this kind of transference. Yes, they were transferred to the promised land. They were redeemed out of Egypt and taken into the promised land where they conquered and settled. But this kind of resettlement, they didn't get this kind of resettlement. No. But the church, the believers did. All who believe in Christ were transferred into this domain of light. So this right now, this is our spiritual reality. Not tomorrow's spiritual reality, but today's spiritual reality. This is our portion, our lot, that now, today, even though I am still here on earth, I am a citizen of heaven. That is my lot. I have a God that I didn't have before. That is my lot. I have a Redeemer that I didn't have before. He is my lot as well. I have the covenant promises which didn't apply to me before, but now I have them. We have them. That is our lot. That is our inheritance. We have all those things because we have been transferred from one dark domain into another kingdom, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of God's Son, a wonderful thing. And what is this new kingdom? Can you go to Romans chapter 14, verse 17? And we get a little taste here. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. Imagine this. We were in the domain of darkness. You had none of that. There was no righteousness. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's none of that in the kingdom of darkness. But now, having been transferred to the kingdom of God's Son, we have this righteousness, which we didn't have before. That is your lot. Didn't Christ imbue to me and to you his righteousness? His perfect righteousness and holiness? Yes, you have his righteousness. You have the peace of God and peace with God. And you have the joy of the Holy Spirit in this new kingdom. That is the kingdom. That is my lot. That is your lot. That's why it's important that we know, like Paul said, that you would know, that God would open your eyes and that you would know what your inheritance is right now. Not in the future, but now. This is your inheritance. From darkness to light, from slavery to freedom, from condemnation to forgiveness, and from the power of Satan to the power of God. That is what we got here. That is what we have. So this kingdom is very unique because it's a glorious relationship with the Father. A glorious relationship. That's what we get in this kingdom. We didn't have it before. And while Jesus, he might not be king on earth yet, we still see him as king because you know he's the king of heaven and earth. And we know that one day he will come and he will be the Lord of lords and the King of kings here on earth. That will happen. That too is what? Part of our inheritance. Part of our heritage. We will see that one day. So that was the third thing, the first thing. So the first thing, so we don't forget, we have been qualified. The second thing, we have been rescued. The third thing, we have been transferred. And then the fourth thing, we have been redeemed, in whom we have redemption. One of the greatest and strongest words in all of Scripture, redemption. Redemption. We have been released by payment of a high ransom. This was no little thing. This was the highest and loftiest of all payments. Redeemed, ransomed at a very high price. It cost the life of Christ, the shedding of his blood. Very high. No insignificant thing. Remember Paul, he's making an argument to all those false teachers right there in Colossae, because their false teachings don't proclaim Christ the way he wants the Colossians to know Christ. How magnificent, how glorious he is. How preeminent. No one like Christ. He redeemed us. We were bought back as slaves out of captivity. That's what happened for us, to us. And the word here, redeemed, means completely released. It means completely released. It doesn't mean you were partially released of your sins. You know, some are still there, but most have been wiped clean. No, no, no. This is a complete breaking away of sin. A complete redemption. You have been moved from one to another. It is done. You have been redeemed. The payment has been fully paid and has been fully accepted. And the sin debt, because we had a sin problem, that sin problem is gone. Redemption, a wonderful doctrine, a wonderful doctrine. And if I had more time, I would spend more time just talking about this doctrine of redemption, because there's so much goodness in that one doctrine alone. Such a wonderful doctrine, the redemption. So Christ redeemed us. No longer can anyone call us a slave, because the devil will lie to you. He will make you guilty because you sinned, and he will come and tell you, you're still a slave. You're still a slave. Yes, you see how you sin? You see that guilt? Because you're condemned. Your sin condemns you. The law condemns you. Yes, that's your curse. We do every time we sin. And that's why we should know, what is your inheritance? What is your lot? We know this. I have been redeemed. All my sins, past, present, future, wiped clean. Nothing remains. Yes, we sin. We still struggle with the flesh, but we know this, that we have a Savior, and if we go to the Savior and we confess our sins, we know that he is faithful to forgive us of our sin. We do that. That is our heritage, that we have a Redeemer. That is your portion, your lot. You are in him, and he is in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is your heritage. Know that. Understand that. And then we move on to the last and final point, and is this: we have been forgiven. The forgiveness of sins. Four was we have been redeemed, and the fifth and final point, we have been forgiven. Forgiveness means remission. Remission by Christ, who paid the price on the cross. Can you go to Romans chapter 3, verses 24 to 26, please? And are justified, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Completely redeemed by the work of Christ on the cross. Sacrifice fully accepted by the Father. All sins remitted, washed away. And the psalmist says this. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions. As far as the east is from the west. That's in Psalm 103, verse 12. Your sins completely gone. God sees them no more. Just like the scapegoat in the Old Testament, they took the scapegoat, they laid their hands on the scapegoat, all the sins fell on the scapegoat's head, and they sent him off to the wilderness, never to be seen again. Same thing with our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so has he thrown away our sins. Gone. That is what Christ has done on the cross. Forgiven us of all our sins, past, present, future. That is our lot. That is our lot. And that is a wonderful thing. So these are our five arguments that Paul is making so that the Colossian believers know that Christ is supreme. That he is that he is the most magnificent one, that he is all the all-sufficient one, that he is preeminent above any others. There is no one like Christ. So all these false teachings, discard them. Throw them away because they're useless. But everything Paul had just mentioned, we should know that every part of what he just said, that is your inheritance. That is your peace, your portion. That is what Paul says, that God would open our eyes and that we would see his glorious inheritance to those who are his saints in Christ. That is our inheritance, and we should know that. Christ's death on behalf paid the price. Christ's death, he just paid the price to redeem the church, to redeem us all. And on that basis, it was God who forgave our sins and granted to us the inheritance, delivering us from the domain of darkness, bringing us, transferring us into the domain of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are citizens now of a new kingdom. And these are wonderful truths that we should be grateful for and thankful for. That's why Paul says, when you be diligent about your prayers, be very diligent. And when you approach God, when you come to the throne of grace, come to the throne of grace with a grateful and thankful heart because of everything that God has done for you in the past, is doing for you in the present, and will do for you in the future. Be thankful. Amen? Let us pray.